and confirm the appointment, recommend we confirm the governor's appointment.
Senator Day moves that we send the appointment of Clyde Hamstreet to the Land Conservation Development Commission to the Senate floor with a due confirm recommendation. Mm-hmm. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Day.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
No.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Hurd.
Aye.
Senator Sargevich.
No.
Senator Monroe.
No.
Senator Kitsoff.
Aye. So ordered.
I'll be glad to carry that.
Senator Day will carry that.
Just carrying Grace.
I'll carry Grace. I'll carry Ms. Finney. Excuse me. We'll now open a work session on House Bill 2625 relating to home occupations. We do have a set of amendments.
2625?
Yes.
Okay. Just give me a minute here. Got so many bugs.
It says kill.
Kill? What is it?
Home occupation
5. Oh. Home occupations.
The bill. Oh,
good. Right.
They kill it. Kill it right here.
Amendments which Mr. Sadler is handing out basically replace Section 2 and address at least most of the concerns that were raised. Clearly states that the industry will employ no more than 5 persons. On line 13, no new buildings are going to be constructed, particularly for this purpose. The activity has to be carried out in buildings normally associated with the use permitted in that zone. There's an interference standard in D on line 15. It allows local governing bodies to add additional conditions as they see fit, on line 17 through 19. And then the...
That was in the old bill.
I believe sub 4 was too, that this does not, the home occupation should not be used as justification for a zone change.
Number 3 is new. Also.
All right, number 3 tightens up also the concern that was raised about building new structures specifically for this purpose.
Or that this would be used to justify that.
Justify that. Is there a discussion of the proposed amendment?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator.
God knows I believe in promoting this type of activity, but I really must tell you, I think we're creating a whole series of new conflicts and EFU zones, and I got to tell you that I intend to vote against it.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, sir, Andy?
I have problems still with the employment of 5 people, most especially based on the testimony that, if I recall correctly, that is, they're not assuming, for instance... They could well be assuming 60 people, as long as none of them worked there
I believe the discussion, at least my interpretation of this, and I have no objection to clarifying it, that we are talking about 5 individuals and not 60 part-time individuals.
Well,
and I have no objection to a directing counsel to clarify that as the intent in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
So, no problem whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have other concerns? Or is that your primary?
Well, that's my number 1 concern.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I gave him direction already.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator.
Why don't we try another motion and see how it goes, and then maybe we can determine whether...
Okay.
I'd move we table 2625.
Senator Day moves that we table House Bill 2625. It's a non-debatable motion. Clerk, call and roll.
Senator Day.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
Aye.
Senator Hamby.
No.
Senator Hurd.
Aye.
Senator Starkovitz.
Aye.
Senator Monroe.
No.
No. Carry.
Motion to carry.
I don't know.
Mr. Chairman, can I ask you a question about
that? Let's do that again.
Okay. Senator Hurd?
He moves reconsider the vote.
Senator Hurd moves we reconsider the vote by which we just tabled House Bill 2625.
Oh, that was to table.
Yeah. That's why we didn't have any discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You were
we were conferring on another matter.
Let's call the roll.
Senator Day.
What are we voting on?
Well, this is a vote to reconsider the action by which we just tabled
well,
the bill.
I'm going to do that. Yeah. The answer is aye, because I will reconsider.
Okay. Is there objection to reconsidering the vote? Hearing none, so ordered.
Now. Now you have your amendments.
Now I have my amendments. And I would... I would move amendments dated 6/30/83, House Bill 2625-5, and I will gain clarification on line 10.
But it's by a social security number or something that
we are talking about five individual Homo sapiens. And,
I hope you can make it well, Mr. Chairman.
All right.
Or easily recognizable as such, yes.
Is there objection to the adoption of the amendments?
Mr. Chair, I do know also that LB carries a strong objection to the threat of it perhaps growing beyond, and what happens and how do you force them to move? I don't know how we can resolve that.
I would not object to putting a sunset clause on this or something that would allow us to review, force us to review not what has sure happened in the past 2 years. But think really that if there is a problem, it will be brought to our attention in the 83 legislature, and I would rather not do that. I obviously need four votes, so you have me over the proverbial barrel.
Mr. Chairman, LB's got a question for you.
Well. Let me just explain what my basic objection here. You get started, I don't have any objection where a family starts an industry. We're talking about more than a family. We're talking about you had five, and all of a sudden, here you've got an industry started in an EFU zone. And then they say, well, geez, we just can't move. We don't have the capitalization to move it. And how do we move? How are we going to get it done? And then, of course, there's pressure on the county government. And all of a sudden, we get an industry out in Podunksville. And that's what I think we're creating here. I really believe that, a home industry, we're talking about the family getting started, there's no problem with that. They could do that right now, I think, and get away with it. But, this is a tough one for me because I like the cottage industry concept, but I also know what we've had to fight in EFU zones and the problems we've had, and I just think we're building conflict after conflict, and we're whispering Dixie if you don't think we aren't creating a monster on our hands. And I just don't think this is the proper vehicle. I won't filibuster anymore.
Well, I understand your concern, I guess that's why I was so interested in clarifying the language concerning the building of new structures.
I think you've done that. I have got to be fair to you. You're trying to narrow it down. I just all the conflict. We spent a good 4 weeks. On marginal lands, talking about conflicts in the rural area, this is the Trojan horse of conflicts.
I guess the other way I tried to address that was the language will not interfere with existing uses on nearby land or with uses permitted in the zone in which the property is located. Mm-hmm. They have to meet those standards before they can do it.
Let me tell you a little story about that. We got a mushroom plant out here.
It's
out here on State Street, and it has employees, about 600 employees. And we use a lot of that stuff that comes in the stables to grow mushrooms.
We've got a lot of that around here.
We have had a lot of bull. This is horse, okay? It could turn to horse, but right now it's bull here. But basically, here was a farm that's been operating for 30 years. And what has happened? Well, little by little, here you have a whole residential area around it. And you know what? Horse manure smells. And boy, do we have conflicts! And this is just this. I can just see it. I can smell it. I've been on planning commissions. I've been all through this, and that's what just terribly worries me. And I don't know. I don't know a family that can't start a cottage industry when they start employing. They talk about five employees, and as you say, you could have 60. They say, okay, we had five FTE, but we got 60 piece workers out here, you see, and they all come in. I can link a Lure Jensen up at Hood River that operates out of homes and tying fisher lures and making smoke, but they still have a factory, and they all come down. They'd be all over the Hood River Valley and the apple orchards doing cottage industry. So I don't know. I think you got a problem, but that's the end of my speech.
Mr. Ross, could I ask you a couple questions?
Can I ask you a question while he's coming up?
Why, sure. Sarah Cohen.
What about this whole conditional use permit that deals with it? We're granting it outright. Is that what we're doing here? What if they have a machine shop that makes huge amounts of noise, and they employ five people. I mean, they don't have to go through a conditional use. They don't have to do anything.
Well, if they have a machine shop that makes a lot of noise and it interfering with existing uses or interfering with nearby uses, they can't do it.
But at what point do you decide they can't do it? After they got it all built and it suddenly makes noise? You go in and
they can't. They can't.
Have nuisance statutes.
They can't. They can't.
We got a number of those in Yamhill County too.
Well, you know, I can't.
I'm not going to argue. I'm just
going to.
No.
Mr. Ross, do you think it's going to have an adverse impact? I mean, does the department have problems with this this concept of the safeguards we have tried to put into the bill?
Jim Ross, DLCD. I think I heard my wife calling me out in the hallway.
No, you're wrong. It wasn't your wife.
Neighbors and police.
I haven't looked at that bill since it was in the House side some time ago. We did sign off. We did sign off finally on the changes that occurred on the House side, and my recollection is that we had no problem with it in the shape it was coming forward to the Senate.
We essentially tightened it up even further than the.
And therefore, my assumption, Mr. Chairman, would be that we're comfortable.
Have Todd give you a copy of the new Section 2. You can just peruse it.
I like the short bills.
The price we pay.
Jesus. Pardon, Mr. He's comfortable with this?
I thought I had my mind made up. Now I have to read the bill.
The change you've made is will employ no more than five persons, correct?
Yes. And we're going to clarify that to ensure that it means five individuals, whether they work full-time or part-time, not 60 people that work 2 hours a day.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think that's a good clarification because, as was pointed out, 5 FTE certainly could be 60 people.
Could be 60 people.
It would be self-enforcing. The neighbors would enforce it.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator?
You've served on planning commissions, haven't you?
Mr. Chairman, no, I've never served on a planning commission.
Served on that yet. But you have been a staff person on a planning commission, haven't you?
No, Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, I've never been a staff person to a planning commission. Staff to the Boundary Commission and...
Staff to the Boundary Commission.
Okay.
Let's go there. You've been on there, haven't you?
Yes,
what kind of conflicts did you see as that job here?
Some of the very type, Mr. Chairman, or Senator Day, you were describing a few minutes ago.
And what gives me the assurance that this won't continue to promote that type of thing when we're just trying to get a handle on it now? Setting up urban growth boundaries, getting agricultural and forest lands zoned properly. And now we're going to see an outright granting unconditional use for this. Tell me how you're going to resolve these conflicts, please, as a former boundary commission.
Send it out.
You tell me how we do that.
I hope we're going to send it out.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, by enforcing the statutory language that limits the number of employees to no more than five persons. The question, of course, you raised is will people cave in when you get to that point because of the reasons you outlined, and that's a legitimate concern.
Have they caved in the past in your experience?
Yes, they have.
What assurance do I have they won't in the future?
If they will.
Perhaps.
All right, well, however it is.
Get it out.
Well, I guess what my concern here is, Jim, so we have a comprehensive plan that's been acknowledged. We now are changing and giving an unconditional use in EFU and forest land, an unconditional use. And then we come along and five employees, boom. Now, this is not relative. I mean, this is not family. This is five employees after family. I just don't see, as you say, well, it's a law. But we got some laws here we've been trying to enforce on agricultural lands, and you're still having a hard time getting them enforced, aren't you?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, and that could well be the case.
You made a statement now to the committee that you're comfortable with it. How can you be comfortable when we haven't even got the agricultural lands established yet?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Day, comfort is a relative thing. And one has to put that in the context of the bill as it was originally drawn, and we worked with the... author to a point of comfort.
We're working at a bill that was so awful that we corrected it now that you're more comfortable. Okay, I just want the record clear where we are. Okay, I'm unsatisfied, Mr. Chairman. I'm not going to raise any more hell about it. Just
Yes, I think your wife's calling you.
Mr. Chair.
So, Andy?
Jim, do you have any thoughts as to how we might further wrap some constraints around it?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Hamby, no, I don't. I only leave with you the comment that as a matter of equity, I believe that cottage industries is a viable notion. And on that basis, and with the corrections that were made to the bill, we felt we could support it. I don't have any specific suggestions for you. I'm sorry.
I'm still sold on, and it's not only that I've been reading too much Toffler and everyone else, but we've got to start thinking futuristically. Not everyone is going to be living and working within an urban growth boundary. There are those that are going to be legitimately carrying off patients that belong in a metropolitan area and live in a rural area. And whether that's a cottage industry or, you know, whatever.
I think the point that sold me on the idea when it was brought up was that the people are doing this anyway.
Yes,
they are out
right.
and doing it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And pretending it isn't happening isn't a realistic...
I agree.
If Citibank, what they've been doing...
Well, Mr. Chairman, the only point I make to you again is we aren't talking about...
Is this a new point?
Yeah, we're talking about a family or an individual working in the home, see? We're really talking about a business that goes beyond the family. We're adding employees, you see? And so there is a bit difference. There is a bit difference. But why don't we get on with it? I'm kind of tired.
Well, you can do it on a minority report.
We haven't taken the vote yet, either.
No. I would move the amended bill... to the floor to pass recommendation. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Day.
No.
Senator Cohen.
No.
I didn't understand.
No.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Hurd.
Aye.
Senator Starkovich.
Sure.
Senator Monroe.
No.
Senator Kitzhaber.
Aye. So ordered. I guess I'm going to have to carry this one.
That ain't going to be much help, pal.
I'll lobby at heart, John.
Okay, right. I'll get right on that.
Could I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Day?
We had a bill on this insecticide study, and I would at least like to bring it up and vote on it if it's up or down. And I have a suggestion on the bill, if I could make it, Mr. Chairman, and would be to sunset to extend it for a 2-year more period with a sunset 2 more years. And I would like to.
I think that if we voted today, we would kill the bill.
I
said I think if we did take a vote today, the bill would die. I think with a little more time.
All right. I guess my question is, I'd like to be on the record of trying. Will I have another opportunity?
Yes.
All I'm asking.
We'll have an opportunity to vote on that bill.
But my feeling is, I would put a...
Your suggestion would be to
extend it 2 more years on the sunset so we can review it. And I must say, I don't think that we ought to have... What bothered me was the report being 4 years old. I do think it served a useful purpose. And I just want the opportunity. I think Senator.
I would like to have a little more time to discuss it.
Sure.
Senator Hannon and I have discussed that and the relationship with the existing poison control.
I just have in my district. I have a number of agriculture people that are concerned about it, and if it,
we will put it up for
okay.
Okay.
But my thought on the sunset, just thought I'd offer that. And Senator Hamby's mentioned some other things. I think I could list.
And for the record,
yes,
staff has submitted a current. Activities report, which is staff will get.
So we will get a crack at it.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, we'll now open the work session on Senate Bill 224.
224? 224.
224.
What's that?
Oh, it's coming.
What is that? Yeah. A little rascal you. What about this 225? That's a good bill.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Did we pass out 224?
Yes, he's given the amendment. 225? Yes. That's coming back to us. We're going to have a little conference on that one.
Yeah.
It
We got
water policy.
How many more, Bob?
What's this? That's what I thought. Let's see. Hmm? Oh, we've got to let them know. East of the Cascade.
Right.
I got to
get over to somewhere.
I know.
Well, that's the one you need in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
As well as occupations.
What?
Plus the occupations.
That's the last one.
Right. The occupations.
Yes.
Now, Senator, do you want to explain those amendments?
Mr. Chairman, this is as a result of a conversation that we had a long time ago.
Right.
I think we adopted the idea. I don't know if we had the amendment. We didn't have the amendment, obviously. But remember I explained that with the congressional district changes,
that looks good,
that you would have, like, with the second district, mm-hmm, which now includes Jackson and Josephine counties, it's conceivable that you would have, and it's not true now, but you could have, let's see, here is it? No, it isn't. That you could have all of Eastern Oregon unrepresented on the Water Policy Review Board.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And so this would say one person from each of the congressional districts, one east, one west of the Cascade, and that's all it does.
Excellent.
Are you moving?
Yes.
Senator Hurd moves the staff amendments to 6383. To Senate Bill 224.
So no, Jack, this is Eastern Oregon District.
Hearing none.
Ordered.
Senator Hurd moves amended Senate Bill 224 to the Senate floor to do pass recommendation. Discussion? Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Day.
Aye.
Senator Cohen.
Aye.
Senator Hamby.
Aye.
Senator Hurd.
Aye.
Senator Starkid.
Aye.
Senator Monroe.
This is my one Eastern Oregon vote for the year. Aye.
Senator Kitzhaber.
Aye. So Hurd.
How do we get that
Senator
kind of
that's a super bill.
We haven't had, that's the first unanimous vote we've had. That's a record.
Yeah.
Well, we had the discussion on it months ago.
I know.
So I want to correct you. We had a unanimous vote in the committee on the inspection and maintenance bill. And something happened on the way to the floor.
Yeah. What's that? What vote's that?
Now we have one more bill.
You're always lashing out.
Who's carrying Senator Hurd, do you want to carry that to?
Yeah.
You move this out.
I move Senator Day to the floor.
We just moved it out.
The last bill we have up this evening is Senate Bill 515, which has to do with interim rate increases.
Move it to the floor.
Let me get in front of us first.
That's not nice. I know what it says.
Which one is 515?
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Day.
Are we going to talk about 325,
or
what is that, 225?
Director,
or do you have amendments?
Number rating 325,
I think I hear
it.
You have to
vote. Oh, yeah, no, that's the next one. That is 5.
Okay, you said the last bill.
The last bill on work session.
Gotcha.
515?
Yes.
What I'm handing out is the bill, some amendments that were proposed by Senator Day and by the commissioner. There's also a letter in support of the amendments and maybe some explanation of what's been going on by the commissioner, and a letter in opposition submitted by Oregon Fair Share.
Chair?
Senator Day.
Are these my amendments in 515-1, Todd?
They are, Senator Day. They've been put into legislative council draft, but these are the
Came to us, Mr. Chairman, if I may speak to the amendments.
Yes, please do.
If you recall in our conversation with Mr. Lobdell, we asked that he perhaps set up a procedure where it doesn't have to be so formal, where people can come in and give their views, and in a communication to both you and I think the rest of the committee, he suggested these changes, and frankly, is trying to implement them already. So with this thought in mind, I'd like to move the amendments to Senate Bill 515-1.
Now, I'm just trying to see what the impact of these.
Well, if you recall,
sweeping changes here.
Okay. He can take what he's concerned about in a formal proceeding. He has to go with a rather formal approach to who can comment and who can't. And what he wants to do is, in between maybe some of these hearings, is to hold and receive public comment where he doesn't have to build a judicial record or a quasi-judicial record. And by using this, he can do that and allow people to comment just on general comments and not have to make it such a formal procedure. And this was his whole, this is the heart of the recommendation, I think makes good sense.
Okay. Is there discussion on that point? I'm just trying to sort through this here.
So we're going to retain the old and delete the new on page 2, huh?
I don't have a marked copy, but that's the bill.
Mr. Chairman.
Sir Monroe.
For what it's worth, it not only pulls the fangs of this bill, but it also pulls the molars, the bicuspids, and rips out the gums.
Sir, so, would you like to...
when you try to... I just indicate we're trying to work out some interim procedure. I just don't think that the approach of the bill and the testimony we had, Commissioner felt was the right way to go. I think this is the better way to go, and that's why I offered the amendments. And if it takes a bicuspids, I guess it took the bicuspids, but I was trying to be constructive, okay?
Is there further discussion? Okay, Senator Day, we have a motion before. Senator Day has moved amendments SB 515-1. Clerk, call roll.
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Collins?
Aye.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Hurd?
Aye.
Senator Starkey?
No.
Senator Monroe?
No.
Senator Kitsamer?
No. Motion carries.
I move the bill to the floor with the due pass as amended.
Senator Day moves the bill to the floor as amended with the due pass recommendation. Clerk, call roll.
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Cohen?
No.
Senator Hamby?
Aye.
Senator Hurd?
Aye.
Senator Starkey?
No.
Senator Monroe?
No.
Senator
Kitsamer? No. What do we end up with?
3-4.
Fails. Motion fails. Okay. Now, Mr. Churchill, front center. And Mr. Senator Monroe. Here, Screed, you've done enough damage for one night.
I thought you did quite well, Smokey. No problem. We're on 225.
What are we doing now?
This is one we can agree to.
Is it good?
What are we doing now?
Oh, he's got it's 543, right?
Pardon?
523. 523-3.
Okay.
Digits. Well, are we... 523 is the bill,
right? Senator Day, this is in concept form. We had it drawn up. In order to get something through council, you have to have a bill that it's amending. We haven't officially amended it into 523. We use that as a vehicle to
you
get
it. You want to use that as a vehicle?
We really haven't decided, but that is one that could be used, yes.
Okay.
And I'm handing it out.
What is 523? Are we doing damage to somebody that would hate us if we did them?
Possibly.
Let's see.
You're a wonderful bill.
No.
What's the original bill?
No, we've dealt with that policy already. So.
What was the...
Well, Mr. Churchill has explained this to Senator Cohen and I about 4 different times, so I understand the amendments that would support him.
Mr. Churchill?
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for hearing tonight. Just in the way of background, this bill has been before your subcommittee on water and I think 3 separate occasions, most of it receiving testimony by the governor's office and several of the agencies. The bill was drafted at the response of the chairman, Senator Day. It's kind of an interim bill, and I think the first point to relish in this bill is that it does terminate July 1, 1985. Not many bills come before you that do that. Secondly, the purpose of this bill really is to give the governor and the executive branch an opportunity to begin formulating an integrated strategy for water planning in this state. We came forward with some ambitious ideas before the subcommittee, and they ran into considerable criticism from the agencies that they required too much resources that were not provided and available. Therefore, I had the opportunity to have Senator Roberts' help on this bill before I went to the hospital to break the bill down and to kind of have it a beginning approach to this. Now, just to interrupt, several of the organizations, the League of Women Voters, Oregon Environmental Council, the Sierra Club, the Oregon Shores Coalition and the Oregon Wildlife Federation all support the bill. They're just not here tonight. They're praying to come tomorrow and all doing certain things. There's a letter to the chairman of June 8th that indicates support. What the bill primarily does is provide for a strategic water planning group headed by the governor with all the agencies that the subcommittee suggested we put on there. And the primary purpose of the bill is to develop a multi-agency strategic water management planning process for river basin management, coordinating both surface and groundwater planning and integrating water quantity and water quality planning. The second purpose is, and I think one that we all recognize as a need, is to begin integrating land use designations under ORS Chapter 197 with water use as designated in basin plans. And three, establishing state leadership in planning and implementing the fishery and hydroelectric plans of the Pacific Northwest Electric Power and Conservation Council under PL 96501. And most importantly, in establishing consistency between the council's plans and the water-related plans of all other state agencies. This is a very important point of the bill. In Section 6 of the bill, we just provide criteria there that